Tezayin Amid Aleph, 11 lines from the end of the page, in the Schottenstein is 16a3. Okay, the Mishnah said, in the Mishnah says, you don't go out to a battle only with the Beis Din of 71. In other words, if you want to just go, what's called the discretionary Mechamis Rishus, an optional war, in order to go out to fight, whether to get more property, the territory, whatever, you need the Beis Din of 71. So the Gemara said, Minohani Mili, where do we learn this out from, that you need a Beis Din of 71 to go fight a war? Because the pasuk says, it speaks about the wars, and he said, "Thank you." And before Elazar HaKohen, you should stand. Okay, this is speaking about conquering Eretz Yisrael. So he says like this: "Who?" The word "who" refers in the pasuk. It says the word "who," so that refers to the level of Melech. V'chol b'nei Yisrael itay. Because the pasuk says like this: "Lefnei Elazar HaKohen Yamid, you should stand before Elazar HaKohen." And then the pasuk says, "Who v'chol b'nei Yisrael itay, him and all the Jews." So the Gemara learns like this: "Who refers to the Melech, the king, which was Yeshua. V'chol Yisrael itay and all the Yidden with him. Who does that mean? Zemeshoch Muhammad, the Kohen that was in charge of going to camp to war." When the Jews went to war, there was a Kohen that gave him a pep talk. He was called Kohen Meshuach Muhammad. He was anointed for the sake of war. V'chol ha'eda, and the whole community, refers to the Sanhedrin. Okay? So the Gemara learns out from this braisa that the fact that it says when you go to war, it speaks about Lefnei Elazar HaKohen Yamid, who means him, Yeshua. V'chol b'nei Yisrael is the king, the Kohen that's anointed. V'chol ha'eda is the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, Dilmala Sanhedrin or the Kamal Achmana. Maybe what the Torah is saying, that the Sanhedrin should ask in the Urim V'tumim. We know in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash, not the second, they had what's called the Urim V'tumim. In the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, they had this paper that had the various names of Hashem. And they had the Beis Din. An individual couldn't ask questions. But the big Beis Din of 71, when they had a question, should they do this, should they do that, for the Jewish people, they would ask the Urim V'Tumim. There's a whole process how they stood in front of the Kohen, and the letters would light up, and that's what they would get their answer.
So the Melech and Kohen and the Sanhedrin, they have to approve to go to war? Three of them?
The three of them had to approve to go to war.
So this is 73. Why 71?
71.
What do you have 73?
Because there is...
Yeah, but they're not part of the Beis Din. You need the king, the Kohen Meshuach, because the king led him to war. The Meshuach Muhammad gave him the pep talk, and the Sanhedrin to make the decision. So the Gemara says, maybe it means, how do you know the Beis Din itself, the Sanhedrin, had to consent to war? Maybe they asked the question to the Urim V'Tumim, and that's what the pasuk says, but they didn't need their consent. Interesting thing. On top of David HaMelech's bed hung a big harp. We know everybody knows David HaMelech with the harp, yeah? As soon as midnight arrived, Ruach Tzefenis, the northern wind, Minashevis Bay, would blow on the harp, by a Menagem Ha'elov, and the harp played by itself.
Yeah.
The wind would come, this is what the Gemara says. David HaMelech had this harp, he hung it next to his bed, and he had there was his alarm clock. At midnight, the wind came, and would blow on it, and would play. And Miyad, Hayadavid, Amid, Vaisik Bateira, and David HaMelech would immediately get up. Vaisik Bateira, learn Teira, the Mudah Shach until dawn approached. Okay, that's what David HaMelech did. Okay, now, Kiv and Shaolah Mara Shachar, what happened? This is Gemara telling us David's life story. So what happened at dawn? Okay, Nichnasu Chachme Yisrael Etzli. The Jewish Chachamim would come to David HaMelech, Amrulay, they would say, Adineinu HaMelech, Master King, Amcha Yisrael tzichem lepanasa. The Jews need a panasa. They need a living. They make a living. There weren't government programs in those days that all the Haredim took. They need to have panasa. Amalehan, so David HaMelech said to them, go and support each other, meaning the rich people should support the poor people. Typical Jew. So they said to David HaMelech, it's not true. And a kemis must be a sari. It's an expression. A handful of a kemis is like by kmitza. A handful of food cannot satisfy the lion. And ein abar mismale mechuyosei, a pit cannot be filled from its own dirt. It's interesting, you know, if you dig a pit and you refill it, you don't have enough to the earth itself cannot refill itself. What did he mean? What do they mean? The rich people don't have enough to support the poor people, basically. So what are you telling us? The rich people should give the poor people. It's not going to help. Amalehem. So David HaMelech said to them, "Luchu pish to yachta yatcha megdud. Go, you know what? Fight against the foreign countries in Eretz Yisrael." So what happened? Miyad yeitzim achitayfu. They immediately discussed it with achitayfu. V'nimlochem b'sanhedrin. And they made a decision with the Sanhedrin. And they asked the Shurim V'tum. So what do you see from here? From this Braisi, you see that when they went to discretionary wars, who, after David HaMelech said, okay, go fight, who did they get permission from? They went to Achitayfu, who was the head of Sanhedrin. What?
He was the Mashiach?
No.
It's very interesting. Even right now, when the economy is bad, the country goes to war, the economy turns around. They learn it from
Rosemara. Okay. So it says like this. They ask Achitayfo advice, and then they discuss it with the Sanhedrin to get permission, and then they ask the Ur of Atumim. By the way, you can come in. Oh, okay.
Can I go drag him in?
No. So, you could drag yourself out, maybe. So it says, so what did they want? So this is, you see from here that they asked the Ur of Atumim, I mean, the Sanhedrin made the decision of the 71. Amen Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, "Mikro, this itself. Okay, this is what they did. But from where they learn out that this is what you're supposed to do, discuss with the Sanhedrin." So the Gemara says, because the pasuk says like this: "Va'achir Achitayful after Achitayful was Benuyo ben Yehoyada, meaning Benuyo ben Yehoyada followed Achitayful, Rav Yosef the Sartzvala Melech Yoav and the generals for Yoav's army. Yoav was the general of David HaMelech's army." So he says like this, who are all these people? Achitayfel, Ben Yayada, Avyasa, who are these people? So he says, Achitayfel, he was the advisor. V'cheinu Eimer, so it says in the Pasuk, Atzas Achitayfel, Sheyat, the advisor of Achitayfel that he advised. Okay? Meaning, Achitayfel was the one to advise them if they should go to war or not. Ben Yayada, he is Sanhedrin. Why? So Rashi explains, because he was Mufla Bebezdin. The top Rashi says, he was the smartest person in the Bezdin, of the Sanhedrin. So obviously when you discuss it with him, it meant the whole Bezdin. Evyasar, who is Evyasar? He is the Urim V'tumim, because he was the Kohen Gadol. Shelcheinu Eimer, Ubeniyo Ben Yayod Ala Kresi Ala Plesi. Another word for the Urim V'tumim was Kresi and Plesi. What does it mean? So he says, it says the reason why. So the Gemara is going to ask, why is it called Kresi Plesi? But you see that the last person, the Kohen Gadol, Ben Yoav, Ben Yehoyada, right? He was the Kohen, so they asked the Kresi Plesi, which is another expression of the Ur of
Atumim. Achitofel was the general?
Achitofel was the advisor.
Didn't he go against
David? At one time he did, yeah. But not at this stage of the game, later on. And then it said, V'lamin nikra shmon kresi uplesi. Why is the Urim V'tumim called kresi uplesi that the Gemara says? 16b1, first column. Why in middle? Why is it called kresi uplesi? Kresi is called shekurs in the vram. They rendered the words precisely. Kere v'chodesi me'abris. It means you have it exact. Uplesi. Why was it called Plesi? Shamufloy Masayim, because the Ur of Atumim were wondrous. There's a whole process, like we said, that the Kohen Gadol would be standing, and they would ask the question, and all of a sudden, letters of the Ur of Atumim would light up. So it was a wondrous miracle, the way that thing worked. But you see from all the Vachakach, and then it says Sartzval HaMelchiev, then it says the general. So what do you see from all these things? That when the Jews went to war, not Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Mitzvah everybody goes, there's no but in order to go optionary, discretionary war, they needed permission from the Sanhedrin of 71. And that's what Amish is talking about, that you need the big bezin to go out. In addition to that, they had the advisors and the Kohen Gadol with the Urim and Tumim in the Sanhedrin. This was
and the all king. Must agree. They should all have the same. They should all say go to war.
Probably, or the majority opinion. But the Urim and Tumim would tell them right away if they should
right,
go.
That's the point.
So
at the beginning of Shaftim, the beginning of the book of Shaftim, it says after Yeshua died, the Jews didn't know who should be leader. So they asked Hashem in the Urim V'Tumim. So the Pasuk says that Hashem answered Yehuda. That means the letters Yud, Hey, Vav, Dalet, Hey lit up. So they knew it was the tribe of Yehuda to lead them. There were a lot of things. You couldn't ask, should I do the stock market investment or not? That didn't work, the Urim V'Tumim.
If Urim V'Tumim, if Hashem is saying go to war, why do you need Sanhedrin or the Melech or the Kohen? Hashem is saying go.
Yeah, but first they discuss it with the Sanhedrin to get their permission. First they went to the Sanhedrin, then the Urim V'Tumim.
Right.
In order to the Pasuk. Right? Because Hashem agreed if the Sanhedrin agreed. And maybe, I don't know if it ever happened. Maybe the Sanhedrin would say yes and the Urim V'Tumim would say no. That's possible. But at first they needed the Psak of the Bezdin. And then you can ask Hashem if he agrees with it. If you don't have the psak of the Bezdin, then Hashem's not going to agree with it. What are you asking Hashem? First you need the halacha answer, you know, the Torah answer. Should we go fight or not? Okay, but this is what went on.
Rabbi, isn't the Torah here and you don't need to ask Shemayim?
Huh?
We have this example before that the Torah is here.
Yeah, but this is post-Torah decision. That's what I'm saying. The Sanhedrin, Torah, had to make the decision. Then you wanted to know, does God agree with it?
The veto?
Huh?
Hashem has the veto position?
Hashem has veto power, yeah.
And then Hashem doesn't have veto power. There's a whole famous story.
No, it depends. In Bez Din rules, in Halacha, here's not a din. Here's the question, should he go to war or not? It's not a din, it's not a mitzvah issue.
Yeah, why?
But the Gemara said that's what the Mishnah is teaching us from the Pasuk. We learn out that when you go to war, like David HaMelech said, after Sanhedrin and then Urim V'Tumim, and then you can go to war. Otherwise, not. Because maybe the Jews would lose.
In the period of the Moshe is different because the Hashem said,
different. Yeah, but the Gemara said before because Moshe Rabbeinu was himself like the Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the Sanhedrin. Okay, weiter gemacht. Amen, Rabbi Yitzchok b'nei d'Ravade, Rabbi Yitzchok b'nei, the son of Ravade, or some people say, Rabbi Yitzchok, the son of Rabbi Avdumi, said like this. Maikro, how do we know that David HaMelech woke up before dawn? Not like us. How do we know David HaMelech woke up at midnight and stayed up? No. He stayed up to learn.
He went to bed at 5 o'clock.
Then when dawn came, people came to him for Yechidus. Then at the 7:30 minyan he died.
And then did he go to sleep like Moshe?
David HaMelech was nimnim kasus, the Gemara says. He slept like a horse, meaning he didn't sleep more than 30 minutes. Machlek is what it means, but most people say it means 30. He didn't sleep more than 30 minutes.
Was Rebbe like that?
I didn't ask him. I'm for sure not like that, in case you want to know. Vei mesif na'le'ir. And then it says also, if you want to add on the city of Yerushalayim, they want to make the city of Yerushalayim bigger, but that it has the Kedush of Yerushalayim. In other words, like the Mishnah says, there's 10 levels of Kedush in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is holier than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, yeah? But Yerushalayim is the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael have that Kedush. By the way, it's not only Kedush, it's dinim involved. Whether you can leave a dead body overnight, there's a lot of dinim that apply to the city of Yerushalayim. Now, if you want to make Yerushalayim bigger, like today, they made Yerushalayim bigger. You know, it's modern Yerushalayim. But if in order to have the Yerushalayim that you want to make it bigger, that it should have the Kedush of Yerushalayim, the Mishnah said you need the Bezdin of 71. Yeah?
71.
23.
Yerushalayim
only goes to the walls, the old city.
Yeah. Now it says, how do I know that if you want to make Yerushalayim bigger, you need a bezin of 71? So Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya, because the pasuk says by the Mishkan like this: Amar Krok Chola Shani Mara Eischa Eis Tavnis Hamishkan VeChein Tasu. What does this mean? It says for Deiris Aboyin, for all future generations. It means that just like now, I am showing you Ani Mara Eischa. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am showing you me, the Sanhedrin, the big bezdin of 71. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu is showing the Jews, these are the measurements of the Mishkan, of the places of Kedusha. So it says, V'chein Tasu teaches us that for all generations, okay, it has to become through anointment of the Big Bezdin. Okay? So the Gemara answers, no, I'm sorry, Masiv Rava. Rava asks the question, Kol HaKelim Shasa Moshe. All the kelim of the Mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu made, what made them holy? Mishichos and Mikachim. The anointing them with oil. There was oil that they used in the Mishkan to anoint the kelim. And that's what made them holy. So it says, what made the kelim holy? Not Moshe Rabbeinu making them with Bitzal or whatever, but actually anointing them. Mikan ve'eloch, afterwards, meaning in later times in history, what sanctified the kelim? Avedosim mechan chosim. Their Aveda made them holy. So the question is, if you're telling me from the Pasuk V'chein Tasu, that means, just like it was done in the Mishkan, it needs to be done for all generations, it's not the same. The Mishkan, the Kelim were made holy by anointing them, and for the rest of generations, it was made holy just by using them. So how can you say the Mishkan teaches us the rules for all generations? It doesn't. So the Rav's question is, how can we just say that the measurements of the Mishkan teach us for all generations? And just like the measurements of the Mishkan were instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu on the Sanhedrin, so therefore any measurements of Kedusha need to be done by the Big Bezdin, and you're learning it out because the Mishkan teaches us for all generations, so Rav says it's not true. Because we find that the Mishkan was different than all generations. The Mishkan was made by anointing the Kelim with oil, and all generations, they didn't anoint the Kelim, using them in the Mishkan, or the base of Migdash, made them holy.
Sanhedrin had something with the measurements of the Mishkan?
Meshur Abeinu, the Gemara says, was synonymous with the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Meshur Abeinu was Meshur Abeinu made the 70 elders. That was the big Bezdin, right? When did Moshe Rabbeinu make the big bezdin? When the Jews complained, where's the beef? Mainly bossy. No, over there it doesn't say 70 elders. Later it says Shivim Skenim, that were the Skenim in Mitzrayim. But to know with Vatzaltim in Aruch Asher Alach Adinya of Smicha, with the Kedush of Smicha, that we find when Moshe Rabbeinu appointed the 70 elders. Now, therefore, it's interesting, was Moshe 71, or was it with 70 with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Machlekes in the Gemara, how it worked exactly. But the bottom line is, Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to the Bezdin of 70, of 71, because he made all the rulings. Later on, they needed beef. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm Atzilus, how do you expect me to give food for Bria, a bunch of behemoths? So Hashem said, okay, make 70 elders. That's when the Bezdin of 71 came into effect. So the Gemara says, the measurements of the Mishkan, who made the measurements of the Mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu. So those measurements of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu sanctified. So the Gemara's proof was, the Pasuk says, V'chein Tasu for all generations, meaning, who's going to sanctify the measurements of any city, like Yerushalayim or any Inyan of Kedusha? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu did it then, it has to be done through the Sanhedrin. That's what the Gemara said. So the Rava asks, it's not true, because we find something was done in the Mishkan, meaning, the Kelim were anointed by Moshe Rabbeinu with the oil, and that's what made them holy. And later generations, they didn't anoint them with oil, they just used them. So you see that, maybe the Mishkan's measurements were designated by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the cities, maybe were anybody, you don't need a Bezdin of 71. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, over there is different. You're right. Really, what Moshe Rabbeinu did then goes for all generations. Why by the anointing was different? Because the pasuk says, "Vayimshachem, vayikadosh oisam." They were made holy. That's an exclusion. Meaning, oisam b'mashicha. The kelim of the mishkan, the meishah made were made with mashicha, but v'leila deiris b'mashicha. And not for all other generations was it done with mashicha. But you're right. Normally, the measurements and everything of the Mishkan was done like that for all times. And therefore, just like Moshe Rabbeinu made the measurements, you need 71. The same thing here, you need 71. So, the bottom line is, the Gemara so far learns that how do we know that if you want to add to the city of Yerushalayim and keep the Kedusha in that additional part, you need the Bezna 71. No, because the question, the Gemara's question is, the Gemara said, how do we know that Yerushalayim needs to be added with the Bezna 71? So the Gemara answers, because just like the Mishkan, which was Kedusha, was inaugurated, the Kedusha by Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning the Sanhedrin, the same thing, any inauguration of Kedusha needs to be done through a Bezna 71.
But you
want to
expand your
Shalai. Right.
Okay.
Because V'chein ta'asu l'daitis. For all generations, you learn it up. So the Gemara asks, it's not true. I'll show you something that was done in the Mishkan. And it wasn't done for all generations. The Mashiach of the Kalim. The anointing of the Kalim. So maybe, just like that wasn't done for all generations, the same way like in the Mishkan, maybe the Kedusha of adding to Yerushalayim also doesn't have to be done through Bezdin.
Who can make the oil for?
One second. So the Gemara answers, no, because you're right. The oil taka was only in the time of the Mishkan because the Torah says, some, them were anointed, meaning others were not anointed. But everything else, like the measurements of Kedusha and all that, that has to be done through the Bezdin of 71.
After making the Mishkan, who can make the oil?
It was the Deiris. And the anointed kings, the anointed
those were
Kalim. Right.
This is Karka.
So the Gemara, but the Pasuk is from the Mishkan, you learn out that has to be done.
Even for Karka, you do Mashiach?
No, Karka didn't do Mashiach.
After the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, we didn't have the oil anymore, did we?
No.
And also, this the Gemara was this previous week was discussing annexing Karka to the whole land of Eretz Yisrael, not just expanding Yerushalayim, right?
No. If that was here, the Gemara is speaking about if you want to add to Yerushalayim, obviously adding from Eretz Yisrael. You're not adding from China.
Okay.
No, I'm saying you have to add from Eretz Yisrael.
So, but the previous piece of Gemara was talking about just adding more land to Eretz.
The Gemara spoke about you want to conquer land to support the Jewish people. You need a Bezna 71. Over there, the Gemara said you need the Kohen Gadol and you need the Urim V'Tumim and all that. Yeah. Then the Gemara discussed if you want to add Yerushalayim. These are all the name of the Mishnah. That you also need 71.
And this was just out of curiosity. This was Syria. This is when they fought and they got Syria.
This time they fought different lands to make money.
So David HaMelech went to these wars to collect more taxes for building a Beit HaMikdash?
Not for building, for the support of Jews. He said the Jews need parnassah.
This is the policy that the United States still has.
If you need
money,
if you need
they
to become
go
richer, you could just go and conquer.
Like, yeah.
The lands, so they cultivate the land and create.
Whatever, they conquer land, they get taxes from them, whatever it was.
The economy is bad, it's the best thing in war.
It's called a wartime boom.
Rabbi, why anointing was done by oil, not wine, not water? What was the oil? Why oil was used?
Because oil is a unique liquid that even wine doesn't have that uniqueness. There's two liquids which are better than the fruit itself. Wine is better than grapes. That's why it's a separate bracha beri pi hagafen. And oil is better than the olive. The only thing is, you can't eat olive oil as a food, so there's no separate bracha. There would have been a separate bracha. You would have made a beri pi eitz on the olive oil, okay? But it says in Shechonai, you can't because you don't eat it. And if you eat it together with other food, then it's secondary to the other food. But in the two, oil, Chassidus explains, is, and this is why they used an oil to anoint them. Oil is a unique thing, even over wine, that oil has opposite characteristics within it. From one side is tzof akol mashkin, oil floats on all liquids. And then the Gemara says also mefafeya bekuli, it makes everything oily. So oil is a unique thing. It's above everything, but it influences everything.
Even men.
So, and bechlal, the oil, how do you get oil? Even from, you can make oil from anything. How? When you squeeze it to the core, when you squeeze it to bring out the essence, that's the level of oil. So oil refers to the essence of everything, and therefore, even the Rebbe explains in Kuntis Yinon Shel Teres Achsidis, you have Pshat Remez Drush Sod, Secrets of Torah, which is Kabbalah, and then you have Chsidis, which is called Shemin. So Sod of Torah, the Secrets of Torah, Kabbalah, is called Yayin. Because Nichnas Yayin, Yotze Sod. Sod, Samach Vav Dalid, equals 70, Samach Vav Dalid equals 70, and Yayin equals 70. Now, why is Kabbalah called Yayin? Because just like the wine is inside the grape and it's concealed, so Kabbalah is the hidden Torah. But the Rebbe explains that Chassidus is the level of oil, which is the essence of everything, and it floats on top of everything, yet, like the Rebbe gives in Filun Kuntz Yon Shul Teres Chassidus, the Maidani, the way Chassidus' interpretation affects every part of Torah. Pshat Remez Drush Sod. Yeah. So therefore, they anointed with oil to show that this is the ultimate level of Kedusha. So that's why they used oil. The essence of everything. Okay, weiter. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara said because it says Eisim b'Mashicha means only they get anointed, not later generations. So the Gemara says maybe that's not what it means. Maybe Eisim b'Mashicha, those in the Mishkan were done with anointing. L'deiris for all generations, maybe Iba Mashicha or Baveda. Maybe it could be done with anointing or with Aveda. How do you know? Amir Rav Papa says, Amikra, Asher Yishar Subahem, the Pasuk says, this they do with the Kalim that they administered in the Beis HaMikdash, HaTolon, Akosu Tolon B'Kshiros. We see later on, after the Mishkan of Beis HaRabbeinu, the Pasuk says, they were made Asher Yishar Subahem, that they served the Kalim. They used the Kalim to serve, teaches us that all the later generations, it was only Ba'Avaydah. So the question is, why do I need Eisam? Because if there's a pasuk later that says, later generations, they did Asher Yishar Subahem, they did it with Avaida, so why do I need Eisam to exclude future generations? The Gemara says like this, Ilav Eisam, if it says Eisam, I would think, for all generations, you could do it either Meshicha, either anointing, or Avaida. Because it says, Chein Tasam. That's why the Torah says Eisam. Eisam b'Mashicha, only Moshe Rabbeinu's Kalim were done with anointing, and not for all generations. Okay, Leperl, the bottom line of the Gemara is that from this whole Megillah, okay, we find out that from the Mishkan, this is the outcome of the Gemara. The Gemara said, the Mishnah said, if you want to add to the Kedush of Yerushalayim, you need a Bezdin of 71, where do we learn it out from? So we learn it out from the Mishkan. The Mishkan was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning the big Bezdin, the Kedusha of the measurements. So, Yerushalayim, if you want to add the measurements of Kedusha, you need to have a Bezdin of 71.
What Moshe Rabbeinu?
Or Moshe Rabbeinu?
That's a lot of real estate value going up all of a sudden.
Yeah, but it became much stricter, don't forget. Once you, let's say you're an annexed 10 miles. Yeah, let's say. Those 10 miles, now you couldn't do things that you were able to do before.
In the footnotes it says, they enjoy a higher level of sanctity. I was thinking, it's not an enjoyment.
That's a lot of...
Well, it depends. Yeah. Marshall, we said, in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to leave a dead body overnight.
Right.
Okay?
You can't go there.
So if it's outside Yerushalayim, before they annexed it, you're able to leave a dead body overnight. You're allowed to do a lot of things there. Now that it had the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, you couldn't. There's certain tumors, whatever it may be, you know. Huh? Raised chickens?
Yeah. The Nazi of a generation, the
no, there's no din of Bezdin today. There's no din of Bezdin 71. The Rambam writes in the Gemara, but the Rambam writes that in Hilchas Sanhedrin that the Gemara says that the, after they were before Churban Bayis Sheni, before the structure of the second base of Mikdash, the Gemara says the Sanhedrin was driven out of the Kedush, of the Makom HaMikdash. Like this, the big bezim set in Lishchas Hagozis, which is an office in the base of Mikdash, but didn't have the din of Kedusha, the base of Mikdash, it was not sanctified. But it was an office in the base of Mikdash. Before Churban Bayis Sheni, it was a while before Churban Bayis Sheni, they were exiled, and it says they went into 10 exiles. They were in Yavne and Usha, and the last one they ended up, before they became completely disconnected, was in Tveria. The Rambam writes, when Mashiach comes, the Sanhedrin is going to go to Tveria, where they last were, and then from there they're going to go up to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. But there's no din, even in that time already, there was no din of the big Sanhedrin of 71. It didn't exist.
Is that why the Rambam is buried in Tveria to be ready for the Sanhedrin?
Bechlal, they say the Rambam's coffin stopped on its own where he wanted to be buried. It was a whole story. You know. The camel went by itself and whatever.
What, Rabbi Bush, often talk, what's your sentiments about having the Sanhedrin be established?
Not allowed to until Mashiach.
Rabbi Yosef Karo tried to do it.
Rabbi Yosef Karo tried and it didn't happen because they didn't want it to happen. They tried a few years ago in Israel.
Yeah.
But that didn't change nothing.
But it says it's not. It can happen.
There's a machlaikis, no, if it can happen or not. Okay.
Steinzel tried to do it?
They wanted Steinzel to be, but they didn't. Okay. Ein Eitz and Sanhedris. Okay, then it says like this. The Mishnah also said that a lesser Sanhedrin has to be appointed by the big Sanhedrin. In other words, the Bezdin of 23 had to be appointed by the Bezdin of 71. So Gemara says, Minolan, where do we learn this out from? So Gemara says simply, Kashkan b'Meisha, like we find by Meisha Rabbeinu. The Ukin Sanhedrois, Meisha Rabbeinu made with Yisrei's story, right? He made the mini Bezdins, and therefore Meisha became Shivim v'chad koi. Meisha Rabbeinu was equal to the whole Sanhedrin. Okay? So therefore, just like Meisha Rabbeinu made the small Bezdins, so we see him to appoint a Bezdin, not of three yokels, like today. To appoint a Bezdin that can give death penalty and all that, you need the big Sanhedrin to do it. Okay, then it says like this. Tan Rabban Rabbanan Lit. Minayin Shemamidim Sheftim Yisrael. How do we know that you need to appoint judges for the Jews? How do we know? So my says, Tamalaymer, because the Pasuk says, Sheftim titan lecha, right? Sheftim v'sheftim titan lecha. You need to make judges. Sheftim Yisrael minayin. The Gemara is just explaining this to get into the other points that the Braith wants to say. How do we know you need officers? As Rashi says in Chumash, the guys that put into place the decision of the Bezdin. In other words, like the policemen. To make sure that people kept the Bezdin. So again, the Torah says, Sheftim titan lecha. What does the Pasuk say? Sheftim. V'sheitrim titan lecha. Then he says, Sheftim lechol shevet v'shevet minayin. How do we know every shevet needed to have this the judges? So it says, Tamar leimar, Sheftim v'sheit b'chol l'shvatecha. So it says, for your tribes. So the Pasuk clearly says, you need to have a Bezdin for the tribes. Sheitrim lechol shevet v'shevet minayin. How do we know the enforcers are also for each shevet? Talmud leim es sheitrim l'shvatecha. Again, the Torah says clearly shvatecha. Now the Gemara continues. Sheitrim lechol ir v'ir minayin. How do we know that every town also needs to have a Bezdin? How do we know this? Talmud leim es sheitrim l'sharecha in all your gates. Gates means every city has a gate. Sheitrim lechol ir v'ir minayin. How do I know you need the enforcers? Tamud leimer sheitrim l'sharech, because the same pasuk says sheitim v'sheitim titan lechol b'chol sharech. Okay. Now, it's an interesting thing they bring down from Tosis. Tosis over here asks an interesting question. Taisit doesn't ask the question, he alludes to the question. If the Pasuk says you need one in every city, so obviously in every tribe you need. If every city needs a Beis Din, so each tribe for sure needs a Beis Din. I mean, you have a lot of Beis Din in each tribe. So Taisus answers that im yesh bi'ir achas from Beis Tu Shvatim. For instance, you can have Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. One city is divided into two states. So you can have one city divided amongst two tribes.
Yes.
So the question is, does the tribe need to have a... So the city can have a Beis Din. But then the tribe doesn't have one. So the Chiddush is, in that city, they would need two Beis Dins. Because of the tribes.
Tribe is more important or city?
Tribe.
Tribe is bigger.
Three Beis Dins.
Huh? Because nobody agrees with the other one.
No.
You need Sephardic, Ashkenazic, Hasidic, non-Hasidic, modern, not modern.
I mean, that would be one for the tribe. And
that's why every Jew in the city is his own Beis Din. What's your problem? Talk to me.
No, it's three, Avram said, not two.
Three Beis Dins.
Yeah, you need in that city three Beis Dins, correct.
Four. No, really. Five. You have essentially for the city. Each city has two, and then
each city has one, then one for the tribe.
Okay. Let's see this now. Now the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, and as Mefarshim explained, he's not arguing. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Echad Mamun al Kulam." One Beis Din is appointed on all the courts. Shenamer Titan L'Chad says singular. That means Titan means that the big Beis Din has to appoint all these courts. And like you said, he's not arguing. Reb Shimon Gamliel Eimer L'Shvatecha V'Shavtu, meaning mitzvah b'shevet lo din shiftei. There's a mitzvah for the judges of the tribe to judge that tribe. That means if there was this dispute amongst the Reuven people, a Beis Din of Shimon couldn't do it. The only time it would be allowed if the Beis Din and Reuven didn't know, then they would have to go to the big Beis Din. Then they would have to go to the big Beis Din. So then it's a different story.
Was the difference between rule and rule from one shevet to another? Like in the state of Texas, the rule is different from the state of California.
No, but there you're talking about Torah laws. We're not talking about Zayit, which was called... The Gemara talks about Zion Tuve Ha'ir. Every big city had a council of seven. A city council. That was not the Torah laws. They made the decision of the municipality laws. The city laws. Here we're talking about a Beis Din to rule Torah. So why should the Beis Din of Reuven decide different than the Beis Din of Shimon? So why not? Because it's exactly kosev. That's what he says. Lishvatecha v'shavtu. The Beis Din has to be from your tribe. It's exactly kosev. Not because the halacha is going to be different.
So why would Beis Din of Dan wouldn't know about what?
I'm saying if people from Dan had a dispute, they couldn't go to a Beis Din of Shimon or Reuven. They had to go to the Beis Din of Dan.
Right.
They would have to go to that big Beis Din.
That's similar to Shammai and Hillel, that the Neshama came from a different place.
So yeah, it was a different Aveda, but in Halacha it had to come down
each
the same.
Each one had a 71.
Rambam writes in his Akdama, in the introduction to Rambam, we mentioned this many times, in the introduction to Rambam, the Rambam writes, in the time of the Beis Din, there was never a dispute amongst Jews in Halacha. Because any time there was a dispute, the bottom line, it went to the top Beis Din, and they made a ruling. Once they made a ruling, that was it for everybody.
There was only one 71.
Yeah, there was only one Beis Din of 71.
So they would oversee all the...
That's what it says, Titan Lecha. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that they were overseed all the Beis Din. But the bottom line is, if there was a dispute in the Bati Dinim, and they couldn't come to a resolution, they didn't know. Or it was 50-50. And one person said, I don't know, so now you have an even number, let's say, right? So what was the bottom line? They brought it to the big Beis Din.
Like Supreme Court.
Yeah. And then...
How many were in...
Bechlau, there's no appellate system in Torah law. Even today. But the dinim don't allow appellate system. If you can't appeal decision of Bezdin today. Unless if another Bezdin is told about the story, another Bezdin says, why did you rule what you ruled?
What if there's a mistake?
But the what you sign when you go to Bezdin today, they understand the way Jews work. If I take you to Bezdin, I don't like the decision. Of course, I'm going to say, I'm appealing. Yeah, so it's ain't no dover self. You'll never have a din terror. Because everybody will always be right. Because they'll keep going. Even if they're wrong, they'll keep going. So therefore, you sign a paper in the arbitration that there's no appellate system. This is final decision. You can't appeal it. And you write it on a legal piece of paper. So once you sign, it's finished. You can't...
Even a civil court, if you go to arbitration, you cannot...
Yeah, the court appeals it.
The court upholds it.
Rare occasion I heard there was a construction that they said because if it's a safety issue, you could appeal it. Somebody recently...
I'm talking about terror law, I'm not talking about...
So how many were in each Shevet? There were still 71?
It depends. Certain cities had 23, certain cities... It depends.
How could they have 71 if you have 171 at the...
Nobody had 71 except the Big Bezdin. Under 71 was a Bezdin of 23. That was it.
Oh, there was all 20.
A bunch of 23s, and there was only one Bezdin of 71.
So for the tribe, also 23?
And there's another interest. Yeah. In big cities, they had 23. But there's an interesting thing. In today's Supreme Court, B'chlal, it's the din in Chesh Mishpat in Bezdin. When you go, when an issue is brought up to Supreme Court, okay, and they rule 5-4, let's say, right? But you know exactly who was the 5 and who was the 4. You know who ruled what. In Torah law, it's forbidden. You're not allowed to. It's a negative commandment. Not only that, let's say it's a Bezdin of 3 and 2 and 1, right? So the halach is like the 2. Halachically, the one becomes the decision of the two. So it's a unanimous decision of a Bezdin of 3.
But the members of Bezdin...
The Bezdin are not allowed to... but they're not allowed to say
why
to the litigant...
What's the reason behind it?
Because it's very simple. Because otherwise, oh, I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy. You don't do that. This is the halacha Bezdin says. The Bezdin makes the ruling. This is the whole Bezdin. You know, I don't understand, Taki. It doesn't make a lot of sense why a Supreme Court or any court, you have even appellate courts, you know exactly who rules what, and everybody writes their briefs. Like, why?
That's why in some...
This is the decision of the court in Ken Yochum, and that's it. Why do you have to know who said what? Well, who cares? This is the third decision.
You go further, they write dissenting voice.
I'm saying dissenting voice.
I mean, that's why in countries like Colombia, all these judges get shot. Because they know who said what.
Well, over there, there's no system anyway.
Right, no.
Doesn't matter. So, Rabbi, is there any time...